Trojan Falls. How is everyone? Somebody's awake out there. Well, I'm so glad to see all of your lovely faces this morning. If you're a visitor with us, can I extend another warm welcome? This is your virtual hug. All right, we're glad you're here. We knew you were coming. We've been praying for you because we want to be a family anyone can belong to. So if you're here and you're bringing some unique background, I'm so glad you're here. Let us challenge one another. Let us build each other up. We believe the Bible teaches some great stuff, and we want to come together and learn around that and encourage one another. So if you're here today, we're so glad that you're here. We hope that you'll find a great cup of coffee and a new friend, and that you'll be inspired in your faith. Let me also say, top of the morning to you, and happy St. Patrick's Day, right? Anybody had any corned beef yet this morning? Nobody? I'm so disappointed. I wish I had some. Yeah, you already had some? Oh, I'm so jealous. Where'd you go?
At home.
Oh, I'm really jealous. I love me some corned beef. I'm hoping to get some here soon. But it's such a wonderful, wonderful day. You know, I think about being green, and there's so many different versions of that. You know, we're going green to save our environment, right? And there's the Joker green, which someone may or may not have in this room on, or we got to talk about various forms of green. But you know, I get to thinking about the real story of St. Patrick's Day is about a man who goes back to his captors, his slave owners, and says, I'm coming to risk everything because you guys owned me once and I got away and you could kill me, but I'm coming back to tell you about Jesus. And he converts the whole of Ireland. It's an incredible story. Incredible story. But I think the thinking about that and going back into something so traumatic, I mean, how much more Jesus can you be? That is just a really amazing, tough thing. It reminds me of the deep sage words of Kermit, that it is not easy being green, right? Something really, really rich there. Well, I'm going to take this off so I can concentrate a little better. It makes my head itch for some reason, but anyways, I'm so glad all of you are here. We have been taking on some heavy topics. Last week was like a double-barrel shotgun. And for those of you who are not able to be here, I had planned this past week to do a bunch of things. They've all been postponed to this week. I forgot we had a marriage seminar this week, and it was like all-consuming fire for us. So this week I plan to edit that video and put it out, and I want you to post it on Facebook. I'm hoping that someone will click a link and be like, they're talking about that up in Church in the Falls. You know, this is real stuff. So please make that available to the world around us. And I'll edit that this week, Lord willing. I'll also send out the email I promised with all these resources. There's digital copies, and some of you want a printed copy. I'll print some more this week and bind them for you. But what I'm hoping is that you'll be able to get all these resources and be reminded of what we talked about and see the video. Remember, one of my main goals of the video is so that you can watch it with your children, your grandchildren, people that you oversee, nieces, nephews, people like that, that might need to have a conversation. Maybe you want to watch just part of the video and say, hey, is that going on in your school? And do you see this kind of stuff? I didn't know this was going on. And just maybe open a conversation and see what you find out. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I just wait till the video. It'll catch you off guard a little bit, but you'll be blessed by it. And also, I want to remind the men of our 40-day challenge. Again, just like I said, with everything else, we're going to bump that to next week. So the 26th, I believe, is a Tuesday. The 28th, I believe, is a Thursday. Right now, tentatively, I'm going to look at 5:30 to 6:30 Tuesday night or 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. Thursday morning. 59 and a half minutes, we're going to be done. And I want to challenge all the men to come and join us for that. And I'll send an email, and all the ladies, you're going to get that too. So remind your men, hey, pay attention to the email. And give me feedback. If you could come, if it were 30 minutes earlier or later, I want to hear that. Because we're going to set it in stone this week. And the following week, I'll tell you next Sunday what the details are going to be. But I would love for all of our men to come 40 days. It's a very short devotional every day. And we'll meet six times for 1 hour just to kind of keep us all on track. My goal is to put some really great resources in your back pocket. So as men, we can lead. We can lead our families. We can lead our work centers. This is a public cry, and we want to have some skills that really work. And so that is my goal, and I hope and I pray that you will join me in that. Now, I don't think I told you that there was a test, but there is. What was the number one verse last week. Don't change the slide yet. I don't want nobody cheating. What was the main verse? Remember all the twos? Anybody remember it? Who said it? There you go. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. There's not 22 chapters, so you know it's chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy 2, 22. Lots of twos. Really easy to remember. I want you to grab a hold of this because I believe it may be the quintessential verse for our generation. I think understanding the nature of addiction and the nature of being set free from that in a biblical way may be one of the most important things we could learn. So as we go into this new series, which we're going to shift today a little bit into a different direction, but it's very much related, I want you to keep this verse in your mind. This is a good one to memorize. And you can really memorize it with four words. Run, to, from, with. That's it. You got the whole verse. All right? We run from anything that stimulates lust. Anything that's going to draw us into a problem, we run from it. Remember Joseph. We run to righteousness, faithfulness, love, peace. And what I want you to garner here is throw away the mental image of the God who's standing angry at all the bad stuff you've done. Throw it away. It's a non-biblical idea. Instead, replace it with the biblical model of God standing over, weeping, rooting, cheerleading, doing His best to get you on the path. He is all in for you. Run towards that. Run towards that experience. Run towards that moment where you say, God, is it really true that you really care about me like that? And hear Him say in your spirit, you betcha. Run towards that. That is something we miss a lot. So run from and run to, and lastly, run with those who call upon the Lord with pure hearts. This is the New Living Translation. I love the way it frames that. If we don't run with, we are missing a core part of what the New Testament. 60-something times is a one another passage. That's why we're in groups. That's why we have life group. That's why men, we're going to get together. We're going to run with one another. There's so much that is absolutely essential. If you only have one or two legs on a stool, what happens? It don't hold up, does it? You fall over. The third prong, all three are really important. If you've got a tripod and you're trying to do a video and you only got one, it's not really a tripod, is it? It doesn't work. To be stable, we need all three. From, to, and with. I know it's so simple, but it is magical. If you grab hold of this and process it into real time. Now, men, we're going to take 40 days and unpack this like you've never seen before. It'll give you a lot to work with. But plug that in your mind. Now, today, what we're going to do is we're going to do a little kind of a different. I gave you so much last week. This will be a little lighter day. I just want to turn you a little bit. And we're going to go into a new series today, transitioning related to last week and the week before, but in a little bit of a different direction. And I want to start it with a story. Once upon a time, back in Judges, Joshua dies, and the people start making some poor decisions. And so God raises up a judge, and they make a little better decisions. And then the judge dies, and they make some really dumb decisions. And so God raises up another judge, and they make a little bit better decisions, and then the judge dies, and they make some really stupid decisions. And then God raises up another judge, and they make a little bit better decisions, and then the judge dies, and they make some stupider decisions. And then the judge, and the stupidest, and on down it goes. And it's just up and down, and up and down, and up and down. And to the very end of the book, says it a few times, but the very last words of the book, Judges 21, verse 25, says this. In those days, Israel had no king, and all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. You know, I really think this is the way it ought to be. I think we should do this. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, as long as it's just my thing in my little realm, then this is good. This is okay. Does that sound familiar to you just a little bit? One of the things I really love to study, and every time I meet a chaplain from a different country, I really thrive on this. So we're talking multiple coffee dates with whoever it is, and I've done this many times. and learning what the core values of countries are. For example, if you go to England, I spent time with an English chaplain, and I was deciphering what's the most important value of England. Propriety. There is a way that it's supposed to be done. And if you don't do it that way, then you've missed the mark. Because that is how we do it here. Can you see that? Mary Poppins, right? There's a right way to do it. Propriety, core value. If you go to Australia, my Aussie chaplain friend tells me it's fair go. And I said, what do you mean fair go? He says you walk in, you punch someone, they look at you funny, they punch you back, and all is good. Tit for tat, back and forth. It is Crocodile Dundee to a T. If you remember that scene where he's got a knife, no, that's not a knife. Oh, just some kids having fun. If you haven't seen the movie, you don't recognize it. But if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It's a truly, it doesn't matter. As long as it's back and forth, it's fair go. It's all good. That's a core value. It's a way of being present with others in a safe way that you understand. If you go to China and many other places in the East, the core value is honor. Don't you dare dishonor your family. You die first. That is not okay, because the core value is honor. Respect. So what do you think America's core value is? Freedom. Right? America makes the iPhone. Freedom breeds creativity and life and uniqueness. And I think it is one of God's great qualities. But you know what it also breeds? Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. You see that, right? See how connected that is? We lead the world in this stupidity. Along with a lot of brilliance. And we're going to talk in this series back and forth on both sides, okay? But what I want you to understand is that's what's going on. And it's the last phrase of the book. And you know the story right before the last phrase that represents the whole book's probably the most important, right? Here's the story. Some guys from Benjamin all needed wives. And they say, we're going to go get some wives. How are we going to do this? Oh, you know what? There's a festival and all the ladies come out and dance. So we're going to run down there. We're going to hide in the bushes. And when they come out to dance, we're going to run out and get on one knee with a rose. And if they accept the rose, we're the bachelor, right? That's what they're thinking. Boy, that would be sort of insane, but that's not even that good. Now, here's their plan. We're going to hide in the bushes. The lady's going to come out dancing. We're just going to grab one and take them with us. Like a puppy. And that's what they do. The land of Benjamin. Go get your wife. And guess what? You won't be guilty of breaking a vow, since we didn't actually give our daughters to you. Because apparently they had some arrangement where that wasn't going to work. But if you just take them, no foul. This is a good plan. We're going to sit down. Somebody sat down and said, you know what? This is a good idea. And all the other men went, yes, this is a good idea. Let's go and let's hide in the bushes and let's just grab them and go, right? And so the men of Benjamin did as they were told, and each man caught one of the women. Can you see the scene here? Caught. That means the ladies were running. Ah, and he grabs her. Ah, she throws her on his shoulder and he runs with her and just takes her home. The women, as they danced in the celebration, and they carried her off to be his wife. They returned to their own land, built a house, and that's where they lived. And then the Bible says, in those days, there was no king. And all the people did whatever they thought was right in their own eyes. The word asinine comes to mind right now. I mean, just think about this. How much different are we in America than that right there? Just a little bit, maybe. We're on our way to that, though, because that's how we live. That's how we talk. Whatever is right in our own eyes is probably okay, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. Right? Reminds me of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not, everybody say not, lean not on your own understanding. But in all of your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. So when we do what's right in our own eyes, biblically, we have created a crooked path. When we lean not on our own understanding, but submit to what God's rhythm is, Holy Spirit nudges, the Bible teaches, a wise counselor says, etc., etc. When we do those things, God makes our path straight. There's your two choices. America breeds this idea that we can do whatever is right in our own eyes. That's where the book ends. You know, when I was reading my Bible the first time through 25 years or so ago, I've got a note at this passage, and I put Romans 1, and I circled it. So I went back and read Romans 1, and I'm going to just bit and piece through Romans 1, chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. Listen to this. I'm reading from the NIRV here. The truth about God is plain. God has made it plain. Ever since the world was created, it has been possible to see the qualities of God that are not seen. Catch that. See what is about God that is not seen. You can see the not seen. How? I'm talking about His eternal power and the fact that He is God. Those things can be seen in what He has made. Therefore, people are without excuse. In other words, if you go out into the world and you look at the giant sky and the big sun and the planetary movements and you go, wow, there has to be something bigger. Every culture, in every time, on every spot of planet Earth, at some point goes out and goes, oh, it's the sun. Oh, the sun. It just happens because there's something that says there's something bigger. And everybody's without excuse because God is evident. We have to think ourselves above it in minutia kind of ways. But to experience the world, it's traumatizing to our little minds. And we have to go somewhere bigger. And the Bible says that's God's way of saying, hey, I'm here. Pay attention. You don't have an excuse not to pay attention. The Bible continues, they knew God, but they didn't honor Him as God. They didn't thank Him. And their thinking became worthless. A lot of thinking there. They claimed to be wise. They knew what was best in their own eyes, basically. And so they made fools of themselves. This is the part I want you to get. So God let them go. Just pause there for a minute. I want you to visualize you're in a room and someone's getting ready to go outside. There's mayhem. There's a shooting going on in the neighborhood. You hear the police cars. And someone goes, I'm going to go see what's going on. And you're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You don't want to go out there. And you slow them down. No, I got to see it. I got to see it. No, no, you don't really want to go out there. Come on, man. Just move out of my way. And they go around you. And you say, I'm telling you. And you step back in front of him. I'm telling you, you don't want to go out there. This is a dangerous neighborhood. It's going to hurt you. And he says, come on, I got to do it. And they push around you again. And they grab the door handle. And you put your hand on the door. And they try to open it and you resist them. I'm telling you, you don't want to go out there. And they say, move out of the way. I'm going to move you. Pull your hand back and they open the door and they go out. That's what's going on here. Someone is saying, you know what? I know what is right. I can see it with my own eyes. I know what I need to do. And I need you to just get out of the way. Just trust me. I know what I'm doing here. And God's like, no, you don't. I hear you, but you're missing something. You're all stuck in your head and you're really becoming a fool. You're missing the main point. But I'm not going to stop you. I'm just going to slow you down to think, but eventually I'm going to let you go. And God lets us go, ironically, out of mercy. Because when we step outside and the bullets are flying, what do? Woo! I'm going back inside, right? And God's like, come on in. But there's danger there. And He is trying to resist that. And we are just so insistent on doing it our way. Because we want to do what's right in our own eyes. And we push. And God resists, but eventually lets us go. So God let them go. He allowed them to do what their sinful hearts wanted to do. They chose a lie instead of the truth. So God, here it is again. Let them continue to have their shameful desires. And then again, they didn't think it was important to know God. So God let them continue to have their evil thoughts. And they did things they shouldn't do. What's really powerful about this passage to me is the words physics, talking about the body, the mechanics of the world, is the Greek word is in this passage multiple times. It's as if God is saying, what you do physically, your body, your reality, it's not just some separate thing. Your body, your mind, and your soul are connected. And what your body does will shape your soul. So you don't want to do that, God says. But we know it's right in our own eyes, and we do it anyways. And God lets us go. It's the same concept. Psalms 81, similar thought. But my people would not listen to me, God says. Israel would not submit to me, so I gave them over. Same language. Their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. I gave them over to their own devices. I left them to their own devices. Another part of that passage, God is saying, I wanted to just fill them with food and with great things, and they just wouldn't listen to me, so I let them go, and I left them to their own devices. You recall in 1 Corinthians, we talked a little bit about Corinth last week, and the nature of the sin of that city was pretty rough. Paul's writing a letter to this church saying, hey guys, and he's dealing with all these different sins. And one of the ones he pulls out about a particular guy, and he says, this is what I want you to do. 1 Corinthians 5:5. You must hand that man over to Satan. His body will be destroyed, but his spirit will be saved when the Lord Jesus returns. Now, at the last few elders' meetings, we have not sat around and handed people over to Satan. You're welcome. I don't know exactly what that looks like. I could imagine it. Lord, John Doe is being stubborn. John Doe is not taking care of his family. John Doe is insisting on dividing in our church. God, we ask that you would let him go to experience what he's headed towards before it's too late. And when he's ready, we're ready to receive him back. How'd you like that prayed for you? Right? That's the visual here. God will let you go. And I don't know what it looks like if they had a formal hand over to Satan meeting. I don't know what that looks like, but that is a scary thought. And it really, I think, it focuses in on what God is so willing to do. He is willing to let you go so that you can pinch your finger in the door and then come back crying, and he will always accept you. And this church will always accept you. Her family, anyone can belong to. Because we know the great physician. He's here. His name is Jesus, and he can handle anything you got. But wouldn't it be better to avoid that altogether? And therein lies the tension. Between doing what's right in our own eyes and leaning not on our own understanding. There's your two choices. At the end of the day, here's what I want you to take home. This is the setup for this sermon series. When we're left to our own devices, all we end up with is our own vices. You can tweet that. When we're left to our own devices, all we're left with is our own vices. Now in England, this picture of a vice, go ahead and put that up there, is spelled the same way this is. In America, it's got an S, but we're just going to ignore that. Imagine this vice. What do we use a vice for? It grabs and holds, doesn't it? You put something in that and it grabs it really hard, and you can nail it, you can burn it, you can cut it, you can tear it apart, you can do whatever you want to because it's getting held real strong by the vice. See, if we are left to our own devices, what happens is we get caught in our own vices and we are stuck. And guess who comes along to tear us apart? The evil one who is looking for whom he will devour. He is prowling around like a lion, the Bible says. In Job, we see him literally going up and down the world and coming to God and saying, hey, what's up? The guy said, well, did you see my servant Job? I mean, that whole conversation sounds just like this. Because when we're left to our own devices, what happens is when we see things that are right in our own eyes, when we lean on our own understanding instead of not leaning on our own understanding, what happens is we get caught in our own vice. And those vices hold us and allow us to be vulnerable. And Satan has a whirlwind with us. God will bring us back eventually, but there's some pain in between A and B and C. And I think there's a point at which you can't stop it because you've been handed over to Satan. Biblical language, I don't like it. God has let you go. And the minute you feel pain is not the moment that you're back in the house, because you've got to walk back into the house and you're getting shot at the whole time. There's danger in the brokenness of your vice. And you need to know that going in. God will still take you back. He will still love you. He will still forgive you. Heaven is still your home. But there's pain in that journey. Be careful. When we're left to our own devices, what we're left with, and all we end up is with our own vices. Let me ask you some questions. This is what I want you to think about as we go through this series. Is your relationship, by the way, let me twist it one more time. When we're left to our own devices, I'm speaking of technology. Have you connected that yet? Let me be very clear. Your computer, your iPhone, your iPad, your car, your TV, your cable box, your internet connection. These are the devices of our world. And when we're left to our own devices, we get caught. So this is the questions I want you to ask as we go through the series and look at how God feels about all these different nuances. Is your relationship with technology leading you to be more the person God wants you to be or less? Pretty honest question, right? Look at your usage of technology in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Would you say that in the last 2 or 3 weeks, as you've used technology, you've grown into more the person God has designed you to be or less? That's a really great litmus test. See, the hard part about this kind of series, I can't come to your house and say, okay, 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, you got to turn the phone off. I don't know what works for you. You need some wisdom in that. But there had better be some boundaries. And the way you measure that is answering questions like this. Has your use of technology made you more what God wants you to be or less? Here's another one. How's technology affecting your relationship with God, or even more, your relationship with your spouse, your children, your friends, your church? Has technology made your relationship better or worse? If it's worse, there's some new boundaries that you need. If it's better, I say you need to tell everybody, because they might be benefited from that as well. I mean, you get on your iPad and you share a Bible study with a friend down the road, and you know where they're at, and it's like, wow, I'm so glad I saw what you were reading, because I read it and it has inspired me. And you grow closer to God, praise the Lord, technology. And you sit down and you flip your laptop open and you watch the Bible story, the Bible project, and you learn about the book of Hosea. And you're like, this is amazing. God's got a messy heart like mine. And you fall to your knees and you feel closer to God. Praise the Lord. That's technology. And then 2 hours later, you flip it up, xxx.com. And you find yourself away from the Lord. Just that quick. Same box. Same technology. It's neutral. So I want you to ask the questions. Do you find that your use of technology draws you closer to your relationships, God, family, friends, etc., or more away? Does it make you more what God wants you to be or not? See, technology makes a lot of promises. Oh, if you just get on Facebook, you can keep up with everybody. Okay. Has it or hasn't it? Some it has, some it hasn't. I think that's fair. But you got to ask yourself a question. Does it for you or not? Because you're the one accountable for you. What would it look like in your life if you had more wisdom about these things? If God could come and whisper in your ear and say, okay, about that iPad, here's what I'm thinking. I like the iPad. Steve did a great job there. But you know, I think maybe, what would God say to you about that? You know, that Mac is just really amazing. I do church videos all the time on my Mac. I love it. What would God say about that? Hey, David, about that Mac, man, that's really cool. And I love that you do this. But what would he say? And I need you to think about these things in your own individual life. Because if you don't, The series will be a waste of time. That's one of the tricky things about this kind of thing. There's not a black and white answer here. What I'm asking you to do is evaluate your own life with the litmus test of principles from God's Word. And we're going to look at positive and negative. We've got about 4 weeks of this. We're going to unpack what it's like to be left to our own devices. And how do we navigate that biblically and wisely? And the Bible has a lot to say about it, believe it or not. In fact, this physics piece about how our bodies and what we do with it shapes our soul. 2 weeks, we're going to spend a lot of time on that. It really directly correlates with using devices. You're thinking, how in the world? Just wait, you'll see. There's a lot going on there. And I want you to track with me in that. At the end of the day, this is what I think is most important. I think that what we need is not knowledge right now. We need wisdom. Internet's bad. No, it's not. Internet's good. No, it's not. We need wisdom to know the difference. What, how, when, where, why, how long, how short. How do we navigate ourselves so that our existence is the best it can be for God's kingdom and for our own enjoyment, believe it or not? Because I think we've been lied to. So what we need is wisdom. James 1:5, the ERV version, says this. Do any of you need wisdom? Everybody say me. Okay, that was not loud enough. Does anybody need some wisdom? All right. Ask for it. God is generous and He enjoys giving to everyone. So He will give you wisdom. That sounds like a promise from the brother of Jesus who says, trust me. And think about who could speak to wisdom better than James. Remember, James rejected Jesus. And one day along the path, got a wake-up call and went, oh, whoa. My facts were right. My conclusion was way off. He's my brother. I'd known him since he was a toddler. He's the Son of God. That's what wisdom looks like. When you connect the big picture and you understand. And James says, trust me, I've been there. I've done that. If you want wisdom, you ask God. He will give it to you. So I want us as a church and individuals to seek the wisdom of God with our devices. Because we are left to our own devices. And we need to not get caught in the vices. And the only way to do that is to have wisdom which will precipitate into good boundaries and smart choices. It is in that that we can be a light and salt to the world around us. And I also want to mention, some of you know vice. We talked about some pretty hard subject last week. And it really relates to technology, the availability of it. Some of you can feel the burden of that vice. And you feel stuck. Some of you have felt it before. Some of you are heading right towards it and something in you knows it. Wherever you're at today, I want to remind you the most important thing. If you don't get anything today, get this. Jesus came into the flesh so that He could allow it to be killed, so that He could raise it from the dead, so that death will no longer be a fear of ours. That's what the gospel is. So this flesh piece, God's taking care of it. He's going to give you a new body one day, and it won't be tempted like it is now. But for now, He wants you to know that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from, no matter how far off the path, no matter what gunfight you ran outside and ignored God, in all your bright thinking and knowing what was right in your own eyes, in all of that, God stands with the door open. He has already taken care of your sin. He will receive you back with a smile, a ring, and a robe. And a party. Nothing to be afraid of there. The pain is in your choices. They're already there. You're already feeling them. That's all the pain that you get. God will relinquish that pain, believe it or not. He will not add more to it. What I want you to hear is the gospel of Jesus says that no matter what vice you got going on, God's got this, okay? So do not be afraid. If you want to share, we're going to do a little bit of that today. I want us to take a few moments. We're going to do something weird that you guys are going to think, oh, this is weird. Why is he doing that? Just hang with me. And if I offend you, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But I want to push us a little bit today. So here's what I'm going to ask for. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head so that we can have some privacy in the room, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask a series of questions. And if it's something that is on your heart or that you're struggling with or concerned about, I just want you to kind of raise your hand, kind of silently like this. Put it back down. When you raise your hand and put it back down, I'm going to see that. Nobody else is going to see that. And I'm going to continue asking questions. And I'm going to begin praying for you silently up here. And I'm going to be praying for you and asking more questions. And you're going to be flipping your hands. And we're going to do that for 3 or 4 minutes. It's just a place of safety that me and only me and God will see what's going on. And you're just saying out loud, look, I'm having a tough time with this. And I'm going to pray for you. And we're all going to pray together. It's going to be a time of just asking God for wisdom, so we can be prepared to go where God will call us. So let's take just a couple minutes and do that. If you would, close your eyes and bow your heads and work with me here. Just remember, just raise your hand and put it back down. So let me ask, do any of you feel like your relationship with the device in your life is not helping you become like Jesus? Any of you feel like your relationship with the device is actually pulling you away from your relationship with God? And if you struggle with a vice, for example, internet and the tremendous amount of filth that's on there, if you feel like you struggle with that, raise your hand. And if you feel trapped by a vice and you're needing to escape in some way and you're not sure exactly what to do, or even if you have a plan, raise your hand. If you're interested in learning how God wants to use technology to enhance your spiritual walk, then raise your hand. If you feel like today that you're distant from God and you're just starving for Him to pull you in, squeeze you close, and remind you that it's going to be okay, raise your hand. If you're concerned today about someone you love, someone in your family who's struggling with a device, they're doing some stuff that bothers you or makes you afraid for them and you're concerned about them, raise your hand. If you're concerned about someone in your family's walk with God, maybe they're away from the Lord or maybe they're just kind of wandering blind, maybe they're living out of their own eyes, so to speak. If you're concerned about them, raise your hand. If you're interested in finding out more about Jesus today, then maybe you're walking distant from the Lord and you want to be brought in and you want to learn more about what it's like to walk with Jesus. If you're in that place today and you're seeking and searching, raise your hand. Holy Father, you know what each person here needs. You are in their heart, you're in their mind, you are present and you hear us. So Lord, I pray continually over each person here. Father, I pray that you would fill them with your Spirit. Lord, we ask boldly in the name of Jesus. He left us send the Comforter for this very moment, in this very time. That your Spirit would move in us, that it would move us to convict us of our sins and our brokenness and our misguidedness, to heal us, to comfort us, to remind us that we always have a place at the table. Lord Jesus, send your Spirit now and move us. Lord, I pray for every person here today and their struggle, where they're coming from, the devices that they feel trapped with, the loved ones they're concerned about, the rhythms that need to be broken, the technology that draws them astray, that distracts them, the focus that is off kilter, the pain and the fear and the anxiety. Lord, I pray that you would do something about that, even now in their heart. Lord, you've promised us that you know everything about us. From the number of hairs on our head to every detail of our entire life has been written in your book already. Lord, I pray that because of that knowledge and that great compassion, that everyone here would feel your presence and know your love. Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to know the details of how to navigate these devices. These amazing, wonderful, horrible, evil devices that we are stuck in between. Lord, give us the understanding that we may use them for your glory, for our preferred future, for your dream in our existence, and to shy and to run away and to protect against those things that would harm us. Lord, we pray this boldly today in the name of Jesus. The name that is above every name, the name that died on the cross to make us free. And we pray through the Spirit that you've given us. All who agree say, amen. We are going to sing a song and I'm going to dismiss this with a blessing. Thank you all for being here. Continue praying for wisdom and listen carefully in the next few weeks. I think God wants to do something special in your life. Let's take